Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Boy, have I got a good show for you today, folks. You know, a lot of times I hear from you guys since we've reformatted the show about three years ago now. Tim, what's happened to Theater of the Mind? What's happened to these stories that we used to hear on the show? What's happened to the storytelling function of the show? Well, it hasn't gone away. That's for sure. But I like to hear stories from you guys, and I like to hear stories from authors. I like to hear stories from another perspective. Not that I'm not a storyteller. In fact, I can spin a good yarn, but I like to hear it from other people. I have a talented author with me today who got a hold of me by email, said I have a brand new book out there, and boy, does he ever. And I got the chance to peruse quite a bit of that book. His latest book is called Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. And it reminds me a lot of Rod Serling stories. There's a lot of irony in them. There's a lot of suspense in them. And boy, are they scary. They give you the creeps. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about some of the stories I've read already. And I'll tell you, to be honest with you, I'm about two-thirds of the way through the book. And I want to finish the other third tonight because I'm that riveted. I just ran out of time before our interview today to finish this book. And it's not for lack of trying, I'll tell you that much. It was just lack of a deadline for me to finish the book. And I was reading all the way up until the very last minute before I jumped on with our guest today, C.D. Thorne. Let me tell you a little bit about him, and I'll bring him in. C.D. Thorne is a former law enforcement officer and an award-winning police academy trainer turned horror author. He's based in West Virginia. C.D.'s writing is deeply influenced by the region's rich folklore and an Appalachian Gothic aesthetic. His passion for horror may have been sparked by paranormal experiences in childhood. We'll talk to him a little bit about it today. Shaping his ability to craft chilling, atmospheric tales. Again, his latest book is called Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet, which is an excellent title. It blends eerie realism with supernatural dread, making it a must-read for horror fans. We're going to talk about some of these stories just a little bit today, give you a little bit of a tease. We're not going to tell you too much about them because I want you to read them for yourself. Again, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in for the first time to Darkness Radio, C.D. Thorne. C.D., thanks for being on today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. I tell you, just briefly about the book, you got my attention, my friend. You got my attention. I read in Speechify, which I think what makes it a little bit more eerie for me is the... a little bit of the AI monotone, the coldness of it. I follow along and read along with that cold voice, right?
Right.
So sometimes when it's being delivered and it's being delivered in a colder tone, it's like, you know, it kind of, and I don't know why. That's just kind of the way I absorb things. I'm an auditory as well as reading. I don't know why I can't sit and just read something and stick with it. My brain wants to shut off. I don't know why that is, but I have to have the auditory part of it too. And I'm glad Speechify came along for those of us who have that issue. But I get a lot done with that Speechify right. thing. So a lot of times I'll ask authors to send me a PDF so I can put it in Speechify, which is it's kind of a blessing. But it's, man, I tell you, that little bit of a colder tone put with, like I said, you have a touch of Rod Serling to you. It's your story.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny that you mentioned that because early on, I gravitated towards those shows. I remember watching Twilight Zone, the black and white versions when mm-hmm. I was very young, mm-hmm. particularly the one with the doll and she talks and then ends up like tripping the guy down the stairs, even though she appears so innocent.
Yes.
I draw on that kind of storytelling that really stuck with me.
There, you know, you do have that twist, and it's not just the one twist at the end. I've noticed that. You like to take the reader and you give them, the only way I can relate it, I don't know, are you a wrestling fan by chance?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I was like 80s, 90s.
Okay.
All the classic.
Okay, so are you familiar with the term false finishes?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. So you may come up with a false finish once or twice within the story, and then you hit them with the finish at the end, which or the dusty finish, right?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seems like there's, and a lot of people may be like, Tim, I don't know what it is you're talking about right now, but there's to me, it's like you're giving them the bait and then you're taking it off the table. You give them the bait, you take it off the table. And it's one of those things that sucks you in and you're like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And no, not quite yet. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. No, not quite yet. And then boom, you hit them when they're not quite expecting it. And that makes for an better story.
I like the switch.
Yeah. The bait and switch. And that makes for an even better story. It builds that suspense. It builds that heightened anxiety that you're looking for in a story. And then there's the ironic finish that I think Serling threw in there that gives you just the cold blood.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very good at that. You're so good at that. And it's a gift. That's a gift. I'll just tell you that.
I appreciate that.
That's just me blowing sunshine up your skirt right now. That
I'll take it.
You're very good at that. And it's rare to find someone who's good at that and good at dialogue. Dialogue's very important, but you're very good with that as well. So I'll set the table with that and let people check out Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet, which we have a link in the description of this program so people can check that out. So with that CD, like I said, blown a lot of sunshine up your skirt in the opening moments of the salvo here. I want to find out a little bit about you before we get into the book. Paranormal experiences. And by the way, thank you for your service for the police work. We appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
First and foremost. I want to talk a little bit about your paranormal background and about some of the experiences you've had. First of all, tell us a little bit about some of your first paranormal experiences. What's happened to you in your past?
So I would start by referencing that it's not just me. Like, this seems to be a family thing.
Okay.
And I talk about this, and I have a series of TikTok videos where I talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
But the earliest for me, and of course this was when I was a baby, so it was coming from my mother's perspective. I would cry at night. Like, I would just start screaming, not like hungry or upset or anything like that, like pain cry. And she would go into my room and check on me. When she pulled on my shirt, there were scratches just all the way down my back in areas that I couldn't reach, you know, the long from the neck all the way down to the bottom of my spine.
Oh my God.
That's probably the earliest. Of course, that one I don't remember, but there were certainly plenty of other things that have happened. And what's really interesting is I probably haven't had an experience in 10 years.
Okay.
Until I started talking again about all these things and putting it out there. And then something very strange happened to my house, like the very next day that I started putting these videos out.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Let me ask.
I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting at my desk. I was editing a novel that I'm working on.
Okay.
And it's middle of the afternoon. And all of a sudden I heard a door. And I know the door because I know the sound when it shuts. There's a door from my laundry area to the garage. And I heard it slam shut. And you know when you have one of those outside facing doors, the wind changes in your house whenever they open or close. Mm-hmm. And it was so loud that it kind of shook my desk a little bit and it alerted me. So I was like, why is that happening? Is my wife home? And if she's home, why is she so mad?
Yeah.
So I ran downstairs, and being former law enforcement, like, I am paranoid about my doors.
Right. Yeah.
So I checked the door. It shut. I checked every other door. Locked. I went on my Ring cameras. It's like, maybe it was a delivery driver. They shut their door hard.
Yeah.
Nothing. In fact, you can see my camera. I walk outside and do a perimeter check. And there's nothing there. I can't explain it. But bringing up these old stories, I don't know. It brought something up, I guess.
So let me ask you this. Is it, you say you're beginning to work on this novel and then things begin to open up. Do you believe that, is it you that opens up the doorway for these things to come through? Is it just the fact that you're channeling a certain energy that brings this energy through? Is it, what is it that, and because let's face it, when you're a baby, you have no way of channeling that energy. What do you suppose when you're that small, what is it that's attacking you? Is it sins of the father and mother, for that matter, that come to attack you? And what is it, the fact that you're, well, let's face it, you're just making a living. You're working on something that interests you, but it comes and hits you innocently as you're working on something that interests you.
See, I've thought about it a lot, and I don't have a great theory about it. I know that it's not just me. It's something that goes along with my family, because I've heard stories all the way up to my great-grandparents having experiences. And the house that we lived in when I was young, this happened. Actually, we lived in two different houses and occurrences in both houses. There was just something, and it wasn't an everyday thing. It's not like you're scared all the time. It's just things would happen. Mm-hmm. People would see something. Something would move. You would hear somebody whisper your name. They couldn't have whispered your name because they weren't even there. So I haven't nailed down anything, any kind of theory, other than this stuff just sort of happens to people in my family.
Do you believe in family curses or curses in general?
I don't know. I don't even know if you would call it a curse. There's a story that happened between my mother and my brother that I was actually going to mention in one of my next videos. When she was really young, she kept having dreams, like these really scary dreams about something that was hiding behind the couch. And she called it the rubber band man. But that was just the name that popped into her head.
Okay.
And it would kind of leer out from behind the couch in her dream. And then she would have dreams of the place being on fire. Well, years later, when my brother was young, he kept waking up with dreams, scared. And he told her one day that he kept having dreams about somebody called the rubber band man.
Hmm.
Yeah. So there's something there, but what it is, I couldn't really say.
Because the rubber band man I don't want to say is a real thing, but is something paranormally. I mean, it is something spiritually. It's not unheard of.
I have not heard of it outside, so I'm not really aware outside of the family story that I have. So I didn't really look into it. I just kind of accepted it as something that happened that was strange with my family.
If you Google Rubber Band Man, first of all, you'll get the song by, I think it's the Spinners. Ignore that.
Okay.
But then once you get past that, which, by the way, I love the song. The song is great. But once you get past the song, if you look up Rubber Band Man Spirit or Rubber Band Man Paranormal,
okay,
or Rubber Band Man Ghost, you'll get to actual, or Rubber Band Man Stories, you'll get to actual stories of the Rubber Band Man. It's an actual entity.
I am definitely looking that up.
Yeah, it's. I'm telling you, in 19 years, it's not the first time I've ever heard of the Rubber Band Man.
Well, that's great. This is the first time I'm hearing about that. Is right now. That's blowing my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it's not a new thing. So that's I'm not surprised that your mother mentioned it or your brother mentioned it. It's so that's why when I ask, do you believe in family curses, or do you believe in something haunting your family? Do you believe that there's something haunting your family?
I don't know, honestly, because I don't feel like, I feel like those experiences have varied so much that you couldn't nail it down to one thing, mm-hmm. one source. Maybe we're open a little bit, perceptive to that kind of stuff. I know I definitely was when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I felt much more stronger, like going into houses, old houses, things like that. But to be honest, I think there's some part of me that has kind of shut some of that out. Like that there was something that really bothered me, and I put this wall up and I wasn't allowing whatever it was I was sensing to come through.
Okay.
So that for a long time is why I don't think I experienced anything. And I think maybe we're just, some of those people are more open to perceiving whatever it is out there.
Did that happen? And I'm just, maybe I'm grasping at straws here, but did that happen as a result of the police work? Was that you getting out into the field, out on the streets? Was that a matter of, you know what, I have to deal with real life, so I need to shut myself off a little bit from what I'm dealing with the general public? And then as you get away from the police work and you're more solitary, you're able to be more yourself, you open up a little bit more then?
I would say it was probably, I don't know if it was necessarily because of the police work. Now, when you were dealing with the public and these stressful situations, you shut a part of yourself down. I'm like, that's a survival thing. So certain things don't bother you. I would say I started shutting it out probably in my late teens and early 20s.
Okay.
And I can't name down a specific moment, but I just kind of put that wall up there.
Okay. That's for someone who's got a bit of a gift, that's not unusual. I mean, that's that age where you like to call it the age of skepticism, right? Where you're coming out of being more of a believer, the world, real world is starting to hit you a little bit, right?
Sure.
And you're taking a few bumps and bruises from the world. You've decided that the world isn't exactly all roses and a party, and you're taking a few lumps, and you just have decided that you're going to shut down a little bit and try to deal with what it is you're being thrown, right?
Right.
And you just are taking life as it comes. And I think we all kind of go through that. And I think it's not until a little bit later in life, and unless you manage to somehow keep yourself open, that you manage to open back up again, or you manage to, unless you've seen some stuff,
right,
that you manage to keep yourself, and if you haven't kept yourself open, that you manage to open back up again, and you say, you know what, I've seen some things in my day, and maybe I shouldn't be as shut down as I am, because I have seen some things in my day, and since I've seen some things in my day, maybe I shouldn't be as skeptical as I have been. Maybe because I have seen these things, that things do happen in this world.
Yeah. I think I gravitate towards, even with all my experiences and to myself and my family, because of my law enforcement background, like I gravitate towards skepticism. It's not saying I don't believe things have happened to others who report certain stories. I just like to look at it through a more investigative lens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. a lot of things can be explained away, and some things just you can't.
No. Did you ever have anything happen on the, you know, a lot of different policemen have interesting stories that happened out in the field that were kind of a little bit on the supernatural side? Do you ever have anything happen out in the field that was interesting?
I did not have anything supernatural happen. I've had a lot of crazy things happen.
Yeah.
I was a police academy trainer for 4 years, which was an awesome job. Nothing paranormal, but some of the wildest things in my career happened during my time as an academy instructor. but there's always rumors of things happening, like inside the jail, like blankets moving and stuff like that. I never actually witnessed that, but people would talk about it. Like, you know, that story was out there.
Yeah.
I never personally witnessed there, but I tell you, if there's any place that's haunted, it's probably a jail.
Why do you think, why do you think jails are one of those places that tend to be haunted?
It is. You hear people talk about like energy, you know, people talk about hauntings and sometimes they talk about leftover energy. If there was any place that has a lot of negative energy, It is a jail or a correctional facility. I'm actually located not too far from the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. That's where I live now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I visited that before I went into police work. And I will tell you that for me, the scariest part, none of the rest of the building bothered me. But the scariest part for me walking into was they have a violent men's wing for the most, where they put the most violent male offenders. And I didn't recognize it at the time. And it wasn't until I got in law enforcement that I realized what I was feeling. It was the sensation of somebody looking you up and down and judging whether they can take you or not. And reflecting on that, that's 100% what I felt when I was in there. I had to leave that. I had to leave that section of the building.
Yeah.
It was that strong.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a strong place to be. Yeah. It's not a fun place to be. You're right about that. That is one of those places you definitely just want to, it takes a lot. I think a lot of people, when they talk about, oh yeah, I could investigate that place. They watch investigators do something on television and they go, oh, I can do that. That's easy. It's one thing to watch it on television. It's another to go in and actually take equipment with you and then get that feeling if you're sensitive to it. And say, oh yeah, you know, like with Waverly Hills, so I could do the Waverly Challenge, no problem.
Yeah.
Try it.
Go ahead and try.
Yeah, go ahead and try it. It's a whole nother thing to say, well, I could do the Waverly Challenge. Oh, try it. I'd like to see you try it. A lot of people can't. A lot of people can't. It's a whole nother thing. Or like with Trans-Allegheny, can you go into Trans-Allegheny and do some of that stuff? It's one thing to say you can, it's another thing to actually do. When human emotion takes over and your senses start to not only act up, but then want to shut your body down. You know, those instincts take over. It's a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to override your instincts. It's hard to say, you know what, just get out of the way and let me do this.
Yeah, you can only take that fight or flight feeling for so long before you have to act on it. And in a situation like that, a lot of times it's just, hey, let's get out of here.
Yeah. I've seen good people who have told me, oh no, I got this, I can do this. Go into some of the most haunted places and crumble. I mean, just crumble and then look embarrassed afterwards and go, I want to do it again. You know, they try to redeem themselves. Oh, I want to do it again. I don't know what came over me. It wasn't me. It had to be a spirit who came over me. And it wasn't a spirit. It was just your internal mechanisms. It was just, you got hit with a situation and it was just your internal instincts.
Yeah. You're not. There are so many situations. This applies to a lot of stuff where people I would do this or I would do that. But unless you're faced with that situation, you don't know how you're going to act.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's it's hard to say what you'll do when you're faced with that situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you can't say one way or another. I've never told anybody, I just walk into that place and I dominate. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea until I get there and see what the situation is. I could crap myself for all I know. I don't know. I'm an old man.
I think with anything now, and I think this a lot that I'm older, is you got to be humble about things.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're not humble, somebody will humble you along the way.
That's right. That's
some
right.
of us need it. Yeah. I've needed it before.
Yeah.
I'm glad you walk in there, you're confident, but slow down a little bit.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And the other thing, you're right about that, CD. The other thing is too, is recognizing your place amongst everything else that is in your environment, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to realize that it's one of those, and it almost seems hippy dippy, but it's kind of realizing that your place within nature, right? Everything in there is a natural environment. Okay.
Sure.
So you're walking into a natural environment, right? Even a haunted place is a natural environment. So it's an ecosystem. So you have to somehow fit in with this ecosystem that's existed without you.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if you walk into it, you're the intruder. Okay. So you have to figure out how to blend or how to exist within and how to get along with it. So if you get along with it, you'll get results. If you come in and you're an intruder, well, things aren't going to go so well.
Yeah.
It's kind of the way I look at it.
That's the good way of thinking about it, is like, people get themselves in situations and you put it yourself on purpose where, let's say, some place is allegedly haunted. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they encounter something that pushes back, whatever it is, and they deem that as a threat. Well, flip the script a little bit. Maybe you're walking in and it's you that is perceived as the threat, just like walking in on a wild animal or whatever exists out there. And then it acts out, and then somebody's surprised when you get pushback or fear or whatever the stimulus is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I never really even looked at it like that until maybe about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago when I started becoming more friendly with wild animals, you know, and you know, they were becoming more friendly towards me. And it's mm-hmm. that exchange of energy, right? Where you don't look at them as training them or becoming, or overcoming wild beasts. You look at them as being friends. Right?
Yeah.
You're becoming friends with them. And so you put out treats for them, or you develop a little bit of a relationship with them and realize that you're putting yourselves on a level with them, not they're coming down to your level, or you're actually ascending to their level. You're coming to an equal level with them and hoping to communicate with them, right? And you're hoping to have some sort of a mutual relationship where the two of you can communicate and have a mutually beneficial relationship. You're becoming one with an ecosystem.
Mm-hmm. Understanding the language, like things communicate differently. Animals communicate differently.
Yep.
You deal with the dog of the house, just how you stand and present yourself dictates their reaction. You know, they feed off of that language. You have to learn their language if you want some sort of response.
Exactly.
Or the correct response.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff indeed. I tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the new book. We'll talk a little bit about, which, by the way, folks, absolutely fascinating, Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. I want to talk a little bit about the inspiration for the book. We'll talk about that first, and then we'll talk about a little bit, just a tiny bit, about the stories in the book. I don't want to give away too much, but and we'll talk a little bit about the inspiration for how you write the book and maybe about future projects down the line. We'll talk about that as well. My guest is C.D. Thorne, again, former law enforcement officer, award-winning police academy trainer, and horror author, and a darn good one at that. I'm going to encourage you to go pick up that book. It's available right now in the description of this program. Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. We're going to talk about those bedtime stories in just a moment right here on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. You're listening to and watching Darkness Radio.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. My guest is C.D. Thorne. The name of the book, Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. It's a darn good one at that. We have a link in the description of this program. All right, C.D. Before the break, we were talking a little bit or teasing a little bit about getting into this book and talking a little bit about this book. Now, we had mentioned a little bit in the beginning of the program that I had said that Your writing reminds me, especially the ending of the stories, remind me a little bit about like how Rod Serling writes, the irony in the stories. Mm-hmm. But take me through a little bit of your writing process before we get into the stories here. And a little bit about your inspirations. I know you said Rod Serling was one of them. But when you first started writing and when you first started getting the itch to write, what were some of the things that you, give me some ideas of some movies you watched other than Twilight Zone or some of the things that really kind of tickled your fancy as far as not only just writing or reading or movies, or what were the things that really inspired you when you went to do some stuff like this?
Well, I think with, you'll probably find this in most horror authors, you're going to have Stephen King, obviously. Mm-hmm. I loved his, well, The Dark Tower is my favorite series.
Yes. Yeah.
I read the entire thing, loved the series. But the short stories, right? The Skeleton Crew, Graveyard Shift, things like that. Growing up, I always watched Tales from the Crypt. Mm-hmm. That was a big one. The most distinct book I can remember from when I was young was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the imagery, and even then, like, it would have twists in it. I love twists.
Yes.
So taking somebody down the path and you think something's going one way and then hit you, all of a sudden you're shooting a different direction. That's what I love. Horror movies. I love horror movies with a mystery behind them. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best ones I've seen in the past few years, one of my favorites, was Hereditary. That had an awesome twist to it. Things like that. Like, I've always just gravitated things for just a little bit darker, okay. Even when I was young. You know, the things I chose to read were the scary stories.
You know, when I read your stories, one of the movies that comes up in my head, and I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen the movie Brightburn?
I have not. I have seen clips of it. Okay. It's something I've been meaning to check out, but I have not.
Okay. So it's kind of even though they don't say it's Superman because they can't use the DC license, it's the what if Superman were evil, or what if he was raised and he was evil type story. And to me, that's almost the flavor. Like, you tell stories almost like that. Like, it's the, you know what, if I had free license just to take a character and run with it and give you the most mirror universe look, if I could just turn and go nuts with something.
Yeah.
It's that freedom, right? It's that feeling of freedom. I can go anywhere. It's that feeling. That. Your stories have that feeling.
Yeah, you call that, you know, what's the premise of the story? What does it boil down to?
Right.
And I'm one of those people, I never had to sit down and go, what am I going to write about? Things like that, the what ifs pop in, just like, what if Superman was evil? So a scenario will pop into my head. What if this happened? Or what if something came to life or was possessed or something like that? And then from there, I just kind of pull up the idea until it becomes a full story.
There's that. I mean, because let's take Brightburn, for example, and I'll expound on it, why it's such an interesting theory. And that is because at the time, I think when Brightburn came out, they were talking about, you're talking about decades and decades and decades of Superman lore, and DC Comics says, well, we can't make Superman a bad guy. We can't even think about making him a bad guy. We can't even do a storyline where he's a bad guy because Superman's America. He's apple pie. He's, you know, he's ultimately good. You can't do that. You can't sully Superman. You can't even imagine a storyline like that. We can't even license something like that. You know, it's horrible. That's sacrilege, mm-hmm. right? But one filmmaker goes, well, take his name off of it, name him something else, tell an Elseworlds type story. And the guy who wrote, directed, made the movie is now working with James Gunn in the DC Universe. He's an understudy of James Gunn, and he's been signed on with James Gunn to work in the DC Universe. But it's just brilliant, the idea that he'd go, but you know what, why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? And I see a lot of that in the stories that I've, like I said, that I've read so far in your book. And it's just that brilliance of why not? Now you've done something interesting in one of the stories. It takes a little known character that actually I think most people probably have heard of in one way or another. I mean, we all have heard of a jack-o'-lantern, right? I mean, that's the idea. We've all heard of a jack-o'-lantern. And it was, I think it was one of our Halloween specials not too long ago. It was either last year or the year before. We had been talking about this character. And I'm trying to remember who we had on the show that we had talked about the character. And go ahead, you can name the character.
Oh, Stingy Jack.
Stingy Jack, right. Mm-hmm. And tell people a little bit about Stingy Jack and the background of Stingy Jack and what exactly Stingy Jack is.
So Stingy Jack, from what I have researched, and I'm a huge history fan as well. It's kind of the origin story of the jack-o'-lantern. And there's that line it boils down to, says that the devil wouldn't take him and hell didn't want him. Mm-hmm. And he was just this conniving individual who tricked the devil basically into buying him a drink. Mm-hmm. And then kept the devil in his pocket because he didn't have any money. So the devil turns himself into a coin and he puts the devil in his pocket next to a crucifix. So the devil came transferred back and he carried him around for a year and he made him promise that, all right, I'm going to take you out of my pocket, but you can't do anything to me. The history goes to, the jack-o'-lantern is supposed to kind of keep him away, Stingy Jack away, the way I interpreted it.
Yes.
And in Ireland, it used to be, I want to say turnips.
Yes.
Originally, they carved it out of.
Yep, turnips.
And
yep.
Then those traditions with the Irish who came over to America, you've got the pumpkin, and that became our jack-o'-lantern.
Yes, yep.
Exactly. Jack of the lantern.
Yep, you got it exactly right. So, and it's really hard to carve a turnip.
I would imagine
it's incredibly hard to carve a turnip, but yeah, eventually it became a pumpkin over here. So that's where the origin of the carving a jack-o'-lantern or a pumpkin comes from. And so you've taken and carved out, and I'm using the pun, carved out an amazing story with Stingy Jack in this book. And it's, I'm not giving away too much. I think you've added to the folklore, and it's a brilliant way of adding to the folklore of Stingy Jack.
Hopefully a little bit. Hopefully.
Without giving any spoilers, do you want to give a bit of a tease?
So the premise of the story is this couple who moves into a new house, and that town has a tradition where they put out jack-o'-lanterns and they leave a treat for Stingy Jack. And they're introduced to this early in the story by a neighbor who's being very kind and telling them about that. And the husband in the story thinks it's silly and doesn't follow the tradition. And then from there, he learns that it wasn't as silly as he thought. And then there are some consequences because of his actions.
And boy, is it an interesting story. there's a very interesting Rod Serling twist at the end of it that you guys just have to read. It's such a gripping story in this book that again, it grabbed me. I was like, wow. And I can see it in my mind. You've written it so well, CD, that I can see it. I can see it on the big screen. I can see it. I can see it produced and put up on the big screen.
Thank you. That really came from, I have an absolute love for Halloween. And that's because when I was young, I was not allowed to celebrate Halloween. So when I was a kid, we never went out trick-or-treating. We never dressed up in costumes or anything like that. I came from a conservative evangelical background, which has loosened up over the years. I still have my own religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. But when I got older, I was like, I want part of this. So every year my house is decked out. I keep adding more decorations. We have a party with friends every year. And it's just the best time. It's Halloween is for me, it's like writing the stories. It's the time when people are free to express their own ideas and interpretation. And that's what I try to bring to the stories, which I write.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. I'll tell you that. There's a story in the book, which I find interesting, and I think it has layers. I think you really have to look into it. But I want you to explain to people a little bit about grandfather and give me your synopsis, just real quick, again, spoiler free.
Okay.
And what grandfather is about. And again, I think it has layers, and I'll tell you why I think it has layers as soon as you give your synopsis here.
It has that element that you were just talking about with Brightburn. It's the what ifs. And you, on the surface, you think you're presented with one scenario, but at the end you find out it's completely different. It follows a family of four, and the kids have to help take care of an elderly man that they just call grandfather, who is in the attic. And during the story, the boy is terrified. He has to go up to, it's his turn. So he's got to take care of grandfather's wounds and feed him and make sure everything is good. And when he gets up there, you find out that grandfather is chained in the attic. And without giving too much away, mm-hmm. there's a very specific reason that he is, but it's definitely not what you think, what you think it is.
Right, right. There's so many different psychological reasons, I think, in this story for constructing it the way you do. And again, without getting too spoilerish in it, is there double and even triple meanings behind this story? I mean, is it a reflection of how we look at life and death and maybe aging?
I think there's a little bit in there. And it also pulls at very familiar tropes. And you realize once you read the story, what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Of immortality and creatures and things. And I wanted to take that and present it in a way that for a moment you're almost confused.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then once you realize what they're doing and why he's up there, it all kind of clicks, and it takes a very well-known creature and kind of flips it around a little bit.
Right. Right. Yeah, there was that bit of confusion. See, to me, it's almost in the first part of the story, it almost to me had a message that flip, like you said, it almost had a message of denial of the end. Right. You don't want to go up in the attic because you don't want to see the end. You don't want to see what's coming. And, right. But then right. you flip it on its ear. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The young, you have a young individual who's faced with a very old individual. And when you're thinking of beginning of life, end of life.
Right.
So he has to go up there and he has to face that. He also just has to deal with a very nasty individual.
Right.
But we figure out why this person who's kept in the attic is so nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's where the change, that aha moment. I love that aha moment when your brain's trying to figure out, like, there's a puzzle here. The thing about horror is, I love that there's something on the surface that you know is not right and you're following it along. And then you get to that moment where you have that click, and then there's that understanding.
Right. Right. There's a story here that absolutely had my skin crawling. And I do want to talk about it before we leave people here today, because as someone who has chronic pain, CD, has a bunch of busted bones, hasn't slept well in years, I have to applaud you for a special TV offer. Because now I don't think I'll ever sleep well again. I don't sleep well. I probably am lucky to get a good night's sleep as it is. But now I won't look at pillow TV ads the same ever again. And I probably won't order one off of television ever again.
I wouldn't.
No. Special TV offer is a well-woven story. I'll give you that. And you have to pat yourself on the back. Explain to people what exactly it is I'm talking about and why we should never, ever, ever order a pillow buddy.
This story is actually one of my favorites because it's pretty personal, because I am a lifelong insomniac. Mm-hmm. Since I was 6 years old, I've had problems sleeping. So the theme of sleep comes up a lot in my stories, just because I guess I'm always thinking about it. And I too am lucky to maybe once a month get a decent night's sleep. And that's no exaggeration. Mm-hmm. And one of the places where my stories come from is I'm trying to sleep and I'm in that period of I'm almost asleep and then an idea pops in. And I was trying to sleep one night and I had this idea and it popped in. I had to get up and write it down. I keep a notebook by my bed where I can just write things down. That what if there was a miracle answer to all your problems, right? You would get the best sleep ever. Life would start getting better. In the story, this guy is a shell of his former self. He's miserable. One of his biggest problems is he can't sleep. And then he is presented with a unique offer. Something's going to just solve all of his problems. And for a little bit, it does. Mm-hmm. Then slowly things start not feeling right until you have the climax of the end where he realizes he'll never be okay again.
Yeah. And it's one of those things. Again, it's the be careful what you wish for thing in the story. And it's always the human curiosity. The curiosity killed the cat part of the story. Oh, God. You know, you can't just leave things lie, right? Because if things are working for you, you can't just let it work for you and keep going with life. You have to screw with it and see why it works. Mm-hmm. And that's always what trips you up, right?
Yeah.
Or something goes terribly, terribly wrong with whatever it is that's working for you. And you have to figure out, well, why is it not working the way it's supposed to? Or you don't follow the directions, right? They tell you specifically follow the directions and you don't follow the directions because you think you know better. All of those scenarios are in this story, which you brilliantly crafted. And
thank you. And
you go, oh my God. And you make the reader follow along and you're like, what is this thing? What is this pillow buddy?
Yeah.
And there's in
horror, you have the idea of the corruption of what's normal and what's innocent. You take something mundane and you turn it into something that is unnatural. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I was trying to go with this. Is that corruption.
And the end of this story is very much Rod Serling. And at the end of it, you will find yourself going, what in the actual bleep? you can't help but say that.
Yeah.
It's
and I always have, like, my wife is an avid reader, and I trust her more than anybody to read my stuff. And I'll watch her read something, but I'm kind of like doing the thing, I'm looking over to see if she gets to the point where I think is a surprise. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she'll just make a noise like, what? Well, there it is. She's like, I'm scared now. I'm going to go like watch some videos of my dogs.
I was riveted. I sat and as I was reading this on Speechify, I made coffee and I was trying to drink coffee, and I'm like, I can't finish my coffee. I have to figure out how this ends. I put my coffee aside. My coffee got cold. I thought, well, am I gonna eat some breakfast? No, I can't eat during this because I don't know how this is gonna go. I don't know if I'm gonna get sick. I got to tell you, CD, this is the and there was a point in this story where I almost did get a little sick. It was an interesting story. I got to tell you, there's an interesting brain turn in there in your head.
That's there's something going on. I don't know. I think anybody who writes maybe the brain does work a little bit different.
It's good though. It's very good. I got to tell you, I'm encouraging people to pick up your book. It's again, there's so few original stories out there. There really are. Yeah. And this book, Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet, is such a good original book that I encourage people to go get it. If you want stories, honestly, if you want stories to read that you're going to go, oh my God, okay. First of all, don't read it before you go to bed. Don't do that. Don't do it. Read it a few hours before you go to bed. But even though it says bedtime stories, don't read it before you go to bed. But if you just want stories that, again, have that little touch, I know I keep going back to Rod Serling. I don't mean to compare you to Rod Serling, but it has that Serling.
That's a compliment.
It has that Serling irony that you just go, whoa, that creep factor. And it grabs you. These stories are very memorable. They grab you.
Well, the irony, and I'm just really from this conversation thinking about this, the irony even begins with the title.
Yeah.
Bedtime stories, right? What is that? That is a pleasant time. That is a relaxing time. That is soothing. But it's not for children. The idea is it's for this creature, this monster, and maybe by reading them, you're keeping this thing at bay.
Right.
Because that's what it feeds off of, is fear.
Yep. And there's I guess the last story I want to talk about briefly, and it is a brief story. It's about an older couple. It's called Till Death Do Them Part. And it starts out very charming, very warm. But it's kind of one of those what the stories that, and it's brief and sweet just like they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to tell a little bit about it so I keep it spoiler free? I'm trying to keep them as spoiler free as possible, but I can't describe it much like you can.
Sure. Yeah. It's hard for me to wrap it up and not give it too much information, but this one, I will say it ends tragically for the people who are involved in it. But in the way, if you read it, it's kind of a sweet, it's almost like a love. It really is. There's a love story there. At the core, it's a love story.
Mm-hmm.
About an older couple who are facing their mortality. They're getting older. The wife just can't do the thing she loves anymore. And the husband decides that the best thing to do is to put her out of her misery.
Yeah.
But I've crafted it, I think, in such a way that he doesn't seem like a terrible person. He's almost loving the way he goes about doing it. And of course, with my story is that it never ends the way you think it's going to end.
Right.
And I don't know if you noticed, there's a song that I reference in there about, it's called Who Knows Where the Time Goes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was actually listening to that as I was writing it. And those themes of time and love and things are temporary kind of play out through that whole thing. So you have a man who has decided that he should end his wife's life because he loves her. That's his justification.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it quickly turns into something else, which you see is a theme throughout my work.
Yes. Yeah. And it goes horribly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, and I, we can't give away anything else because you, then you, you blow the whole story. So, but yeah, it, and it's shocking. Again, it's shocking because you go, what am I actually, you actually have to snap yourself out of it because you go, wait a minute, how did that just happen? And you start to go through scenarios in your head. How did that just happen? Because wait a minute, didn't he just do that? Right. Mm-hmm. And you start to go through scenarios. And again, I credit you for the ingenuity because you say to yourself, oh, how did that happen? And there are things in this book that you say to yourself, you just thought it wasn't possible, but it did happen. And and there are twists and turns here that are so good. They're just so good. And I'm just so glad that I have the time to dig into this book. It's rare that I get a chance to dig into a book and thoroughly just enjoy and get to relish and marvel in a book that that tells these type of stories it really does energize and invigorate you, you know, that you get these type of stories. So, CD, I tip my cap to you. It's really a great book. Again, the name of the book, folks, and we have a link in the description of this program so you can pick it up, Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. This is the type of book you're looking for, not only for yourself, but for gifts for others. Honestly, CD, I hope to see you out on the... on the paranormal circuit, some of the conventions, at tables, selling the book.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
The book has just come out. It is in the, paperback format. It's going to be moved into also, ebook. That's my next step. So people who enjoy that, they can access it that way. You know, I have other things that I am working on right now, just trying to get it out there. It's so hard when you're somebody who creates something, whether it's a book or artwork or painter or music, whatever, you just want somebody to enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the end of the day, you want somebody to enjoy it and to hear your voice.
Yeah.
And that's my main focus right now. And I'm strategizing how's the best way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, you're on your way, my friend. That's for sure. This is good stuff. It really is.
Thank
it's
you.
Really good stuff. So I tell you, I hate to say, you know, I hate to say what's next or, you know, next, because I'm so anxious to see what else you have brewing in that brain of yours. But let's let people enjoy this first, because this is so good. I tell you, I mean, it's so good. You should almost shop it, you know, shop it to TV and movies.
No, I've done research, as is that process. I think that'll come down the line,
mm-hmm.
You know, of course I'm the person to write it. So I see it almost like a movie while I'm writing.
It's very cinematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
hopefully, fingers crossed, I find the right people, right audience, and it goes that route. So I think that would be a long term goal for me with this.
I honestly see it like an HBO series. I really do. You get the right Thank filmmaker. You. It looks to me like an HBO series.
Yeah.
I mean, something like a Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet series on HBO would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anybody who can tell a story, that's definitely a platform that can, they can take words and put them to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stories like this, where you do two or three an episode, I mean, it would, yeah. If you can churn them out, I'm sure they could put them on celluloid. That's for sure.
Well, I have a whole notebook. It would take me don't know how long it's going to take me to keep up with it, but I constantly have those what if scenarios, just like the what if about the guy who couldn't sleep. And I keep a log running of stories I want to get to in the future. So there's definitely more anthology style coming. So this is the first book that I'm releasing. It's actually not the first book I've written. I've written a full length novel that I'm deep in the edits with now. And it has those Appalachian Gothic themes with folklore and stuff. So that's where I'm concentrating, but I could definitely see myself doing like a sequel almost to this, and maybe bringing back more characters. You saw in that one story with Stingy Jack and what happened with him, maybe exploring that more and even bringing him back. So anybody who's seen the first book, it's like, oh, okay, there he is.
Yeah. Right. It's exciting stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, C.D. Thorne, I want to thank you so much for being on the program. And again, folks, Bedtime Stories for the Monster in Your Closet. We have a link in the description of the program. Best of luck to you, my friend.
Thank you so much. This has been great.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, we're getting to the end of the week. I want to remind you a couple of different things. One, the Apple app is available for you. If you haven't downloaded it already, go ahead and get it for your Apple device. If you have it and you haven't updated it, update it right now for iOS 18. It's out there. Two, visit the Darkness Radio store, darknessradioshow.com, to support the show. Three, if you want to be an executive producer on the show, you can do so by emailing me, tim@darknessradio.com. We want to thank the executive producer of today's show, who is Troy Palmer. Troy, thank you for everything you do. And let me think, four, is there a fourth? Oh yeah, we've got some great shows coming up in the month of April. Stay tuned for those. So we've got another week of great shows coming up next week. Thank you, you guys, for everything you do, for listening to this program and continuing to support the program. We appreciate you for everything you do. We want to remind you to go out this weekend and do something special for others in your community. Go out and help somebody who's in need this weekend. Go out and be a light in someone's darkness. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Beer City Brewer, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for being you and for supporting this program. We'll see you next week for the best in paranormal programming. This is Darkness Radio.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save.
Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Get ready for July 4th with early savings at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on South High Street in Columbus.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com. Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit To get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.